Today, here and now, we are gathered in your presence, Lord. Help us to listen and hear your word, for it brings us life. Amen. Amen. Please sit. Well, had it been a little earlier, this service, I was going to be saying congratulations to those who'd actually made it. But now the snow is gone. We've seen the last of the beast from the east. We now have the wet from the west. Well, we only have two readings this morning, the reading and the gospel. But there was a third one, and I chose to leave that one out because we know it. And the reason we know it, it's the Ten Commandments. However, I will say there will be a test afterwards just to check you do know them all. Actually, they're a good basis for life, but I always think that there are a lot of don'ts in them and very few do's. That saying of don't stick peas up your nose, when said to children, is almost certain to encourage this act, to do exactly the opposite of what one wants, or at least provoke a question of why not. But without some rules and some boundaries, we human beings are rather unreliable and unruly. So now if we look at the gospel, we find Jesus being very human indeed. It seems he's actually lost his temper and had a real strop. Those around would wonder and look on with disapproval. Today, we'd see the police arrive with a taser to sort this all out. Well, Jesus was really disruptive, turning the tables upside down of the traders and the money changers and all those who were flogging things rather like being at a car boot sale. He takes a whip and he literally flogs those people. Why? Well, after all, they were just earning a living, and if they didn't do this, someone else would. It seems, at some level, rather over the top and unnecessary. In fact, it's all rather bizarre. But Jesus is disruptive and shakes the whole old order. But here we need to consider what was actually going on. There were reasons for selling doves for sacrifice, changing money for the temple tax, and even cattle and sheep for sacrifice as well. But this had got completely out of hand. The actual purpose of the temple had almost got lost. And people going to the temple were just there, it seemed, to allow all the traders to make money. The idea of worship had been transformed into something which just cost the visitors money and made others, like the traders, officials and priests, a profit. It had no doubt started with just a few stalls, but I expect the temple priests had got a good line in selling pitches for traders and also taking their cut of their profits too. And Jesus knows that no one will ever do anything about it. And knowing that he himself only has a little time left, decides to make an example and show up just how wrong and corrupt things have become. Yes, a disruptive, brave, and in many ways a foolish and futile gesture. But this story about this event is still being told today as we heard it. So actually, it did leave an impact. Fortunately, our churches do seem to have avoided that trap. But I will admit, I think some cathedral shops selling rather more made-in-China items might be a little bit near the limit. I hope the profit does go to the upkeep and running of the building. Well, then we look at St. Paul. And St. Paul writes about this to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 to 10. And it says, "For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as the last of all, as those sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels and mortals. We are fools for the sake of Christ, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute." Yes, a fool for Christ. The Christian way does seem upside down to many people, or even downside up. The news seems full of people being out for themselves alone, and also mistrusting others who in their right mind would actually want to help another in need. Charity, of course, begins at home, doesn't it? No, it doesn't begin out on the streets. All those who might want to do that, and those people out on the streets anyway, they deserve to be there, don't they? Well, that's a question, though. Do we want to live like that? Although we see it on a daily basis, it sometimes seems in our news, does it actually feel right, or does it seem wrong? We seem to have hatred, lying, violence and murder, and those are some of those Ten Commandments, some of those don'ts. But many in the world seem to think in this 21st century that it's rather irrelevant. However, I'm actually heartened when, during this bad weather, there are stories of kindness and selflessness, people going out of their way to help others in need. And that is good news. And it's good news to hear it, but sadly, it's not quite enough. Because when the snow's gone, the help will so often vanish. And I will be willing to bet that some helpers will be sending in their bill for the help that they gave too. Yes, we do need to be on our guard, because it's so easy to get off that narrow path and to get back, to be drawn back to our own little self-centered world. We can keep the issues and the problems and the people all at arm's length. The odd check to the charity and a few coins in the collection, that can salve our conscience. But St. Paul wrote, "The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So if we are to make a difference in the world, we need to be examples of how Jesus showed us. And I don't think we'll be crucified, but we ought to live as if we were going to be. Lent gives us time to reflect on where we are in our relationships with our families, our friends, and all those whom we meet and work with. We can reflect on our habits and our way of life. Do we have things to say sorry for and old scores to forgive? God offered us then and offers us now a way to be and a way to live that we can all aspire to. It takes effort, of course. Effort and courage. Each day has to start afresh, and so trying to live fully in the present starts all over again, together with the need to give thanks for what we have and to pray for others and ourselves. And that will always be the case. St. Paul knew that because he had his encounter with Jesus on the Damascus Road. One day, there was St. Paul. He was in control, as he thought. And then the next moment, he was blind, vulnerable, and helpless, relying on others. From this rather unpromising position, he became an amazing worker for Jesus, which we can all read about today in the Bible. But read between the lines. He knew that each day he had to rely on God for all he had. His old friends back in Jerusalem would have said that he was a fool. I think that his reply would have been simple and short. Yes, I am a fool for Christ. Amen.